Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and here this morning I'm with Jerry Parisman.
Good morning again. Glad to have you as listeners.
Wasn't that terrific?
He was a great guy, right? So much great things happening.
That's the truth.
And all to support seniors, and Project Independence is the lighthouse that really is showing the way.
It's the truth. I mean, everybody's coming to Project Independence, but it has to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, for any sort of quality of life going forward as the population continues to age, you need that. But you also need a healthy environment
at
the same time. And what we're going to do now is we're going to Mal Nathan, and Mal is the Bay Constable for the town of North Hempstead. And we're going to be covering on different issues within the concept of keeping the harbor safe. And I'm going to tell one story before we go to Mal.
No.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, my daughter picked up my grandson coming home from school. And that day, the teacher taught them about, he's five, the Valdez spill. Ma, did you know about this and all the oil, blah, 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 blah. So my daughter says to my grandson, well, that's just like the book we've been reading. What book? Where people are throwing stuff into the water. And that's polluting the water. And he said, no, it's not the same, Ma. And she said, it is. Both are polluting the water. He said, Ma, do you think the man intentionally crashed the boat? It was a mistake. People intentionally throw the stuff in the water. And that's a five-year-old.
Right.
Sounds like a bright kid.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. Right. It was amazing. And Mal, I know you're doing tremendous stuff in the town.
Yeah, I've been the town's the chief bay constable for the town. Since 04-05. I've been working for the town since 98 as a bay constable. I started there as a seasonal bay constable, then was kept on part-time, and eventually became a full-time employee.
And now you're the chief.
Now I'm the chief.
Wow. Mal, you're a peace officer, right?
Yes, sir. I am a peace officer.
Yeah, what you say, you have legal responsibilities.
Yes, sir.
You're very much like a policeman. Walking the streets, so the beat here.
Well, within my geographical area of employment, sir.
Yeah, just people don't always appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a requirement of the Bay Constable position to be a certified peace officer. Therefore, we are trained to New York State standards.
Okay,
that's great.
I didn't realize that. I knew there was some definition, but I didn't realize the concept, to the extent rather, to which it goes.
Yeah, I've attended peace officer academies as well as other trainings within the police world.
Okay. So we're going to go over different things, but I boating season will be coming soon.
Yeah, very soon. We're gearing up now.
Okay, and some of the horror stories you hear during the course of a summer with, and most of them, unfortunately, probably could be avoided.
I agree.
It's stupidity, and it's not your backyard. It's you're in water. Just go through some of the things, which is so it's common sense. It's almost embarrassing to ask, but people need to be reminded.
Well, one of the most important things I could tell to any but say ask of any boater, and that's to wear your life jacket.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it's such an important thing. People don't do it because they don't think they look good and stuff. Well, maybe you don't look good, but to me, you look smart.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And safe, right.
And safe. Yeah. And that's the number one thing. You know, if you look at statistics, the people who drowned, in most of the cases are people who did not have a life jacket on.
Wow, okay.
Another very important thing is don't drink while boating. People think beer and boating go hand in hand. Well, they don't. You're not in your backyard, like you had said. You're in Mother Nature in a dangerous environment, and you need to respect that environment. And alcohol and boating does not mix. You should know the rules of the road. I mean, know what side of the channel you should be on, and you know where you should be and where you shouldn't be.
Now, I'm not a boater. Where does a person get that information? I mean, I just say I buy a boat tomorrow for whatever silly reason.
Well, you know, that's the problem. People buy what they could afford in some cases rather than buying sensibly.
Okay.
I've seen people, you know, for their first boat buy 50 footers or beyond, and that's their first boat. And I believe it's something you should gradually get into. First of all, let's buy something small and see if we like it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
and then graduate as your skills are honed.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, the safety equipment aboard a boat, you know, let's not even talk about buying boats and owning a boat. You know, we live on Long Island, and it's an island. And a lot of people forget that. Chances are, if you live in on Long Island, you're going to be on a boat at some point. Mm-hmm. Or have an opportunity. Right. A family member, a friend, somebody you know has a boat. And you people get on as passengers and don't ask questions, don't pay attention. And then the operator could become incapacitated or injured. And now you're forced to react. And people should ask questions when they board a boat. Where is your safety equipment? How many life jackets are on the boat? You know, where is your compass? Where are we going? Right. You know? And look over the operator's shoulder. Look at a compass heading. Look at a destination on the GPS. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't feel you're being annoying. You're being cautious.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. I mean, you don't even think what you're saying is stuff that you don't think of. You get on a boat, and especially, I mentioned my grandson. So you take a couple of little kids on a boat. You don't know how to do anything with it.
Right.
And it can break down, or the captain can become incapacitated, and you're out in the middle of the sound.
You know, that's something I learned very early on. I've always been an avid fisherman my whole life. And I used to fish, believe it or not, with my dentist.
Okay.
And he had a boat in Montauk, and it wasn't a big boat, but he had everything spelled out and laminated and taped to the dashboard about where everything was and, you know, what to do in case of emergency. And, you know, I always remembered that, and I carried that forward when I went on other people's vessels.
I know, I live in Great Neck. I know the park department has courses on boating. Is that something you'd recommend to anyone taking before you?
You need to have a driver's license.
Think about buying a boat.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Take a boat a safety course. They're required in many cases now if you're going to use personal watercraft. It's just sensible. You have to take a driving test to drive a car, and you just could get in a boat and set out.
Yeah.
So you really should consider boat safety courses.
Does the Coast Guard Auxiliary do anything like
they
that?
They do. You have power squadrons.
You have
the Coast Guard Auxiliary. You could hop on one of those courses. Mm-hmm. You could take private courses. Mm-hmm. But you should get a boat safety certificate. And I might add, other states will give reciprocity to New York State's boating safety certificate. So if you're going on vacation and you wanted to rent a jet ski, that might be enabled you to do that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Earlier, had said about drinking, which should be common sense, but unfortunately, even with driving, people make mistakes. Is there something similar? Do you get a ticket, you know, if you're drinking on the boat? You know, if you're driving your car and you get pulled over, you're drunk, you're DWI or DUI. Does that same thing exist on a boat or no? It's just...
Yes, sir.
Oh, it does.
Okay. It's 0.08 is the legal limit.
Right.
There's sobriety tests, which the bay constables are trained in.
Okay.
And you cannot be arrested if you're over that legal limit.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's, you know, I've only heard about people drinking, unfortunately, after they have an accident. But if you see somebody going crazy with the boat, you can actually pull them over.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, on the water, you really need to interact with somebody in order to realize that they might be under the influence. It's something you can't always pick up on visually.
Okay.
So you would stop them for another reason and then realize that they were intoxicated.
Okay.
You get involved with things like shellfish, stuff. You know, that's a dimension people rarely talk about. But
I get involved in so much neat stuff like that.
Tell us a little bit more about.
We've actually done seeding of clams in Hempstead Harbor.
Okay.
Which was a lot of fun. I had the opportunity to go to a place in Huntington and pick up coolers and coolers of baby clams. Mm-hmm. They call them seed clams, right. And oysters. And then we were able to distribute these in areas of Hempstead Harbor. And that was a very, very nice thing to be able to do to help the harbor. They were seeded because they're bivalves, right. And they filter the water.
Yeah.
So it was one of the steps that was taken to try to clean up Hempstead Harbor. And by the way, that was very successful because for the first time in 40 years, the waters of Hempstead Harbor have been open to shellfishing again.
Wow.
So there's a commercial shellfish fishery within Hempstead Harbor. And I don't want to be quoted, but I was told that they brought in about $3 million to the economy.
Right.
Wow. It's the second largest shellfishing area now within New York State, I believe. But you could look that up online to verify me.
Could I ask you, where can you buy those clams?
I'm sure they're available in local fish stores.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, more than likely.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that gets to another, since we're on the, we attribute that to water quality.
Right. Yeah, actually, we have a break coming up, and then we'll come to that. But I'm going to have one quick question. Hempstead Harbor.
Yes.
Encompasses
three different municipalities.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know the exact acreage of Hempstead Harbor, but it's a very big body of water. Mm. There's the lower harbor and Hempstead Harbor itself. There's a lot of recreational uses going on as well as commercial uses of that harbor. The three crew teams, which now use Hempstead Harbor as their home, North Hempstead Beach Park in particular.
Right.
Judy Bosworth has allowed these organizations to function within the town's park. And they're thriving, and they're using Hempstead Harbor, and it's a great use, and we're trying to make conditions suitable in the back of Hempstead Harbor for an actual crew course.
Really? Okay.
So that's very exciting. Crew is up and coming and very popular, and it's a very nice place to do that activity.
Perfect. We're going to take a break now. Oh. You've been listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Chief Constable Mal Nathan right after this.